We are quickly approaching the end of 2024. And if you have not purchased an investment property yet this year, and it's been one of your goals, I need you to listen very closely. I know many of you live in areas where it's so expensive and investment properties seem impossible. I'm talking about some of the big cities. So LA, New York City, maybe even Seattle, Atlanta, places in Florida, and the list goes on. If you know that where you live is too expensive, I need you to lock in right now. Investing out of state changed my life as somebody living in California. I now invest in Ohio and I'm growing my portfolio. It's something that's possible. You just need the right information and execution. So if that's you, if you want to learn how to invest out of state, go to outofstatemoney.com and there is a free training that'll outline the steps for you and help you understand exactly what it takes. So go to outofstatemoney.com or simply go to the link in the description of this episode. The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Now, I hear you regarding like getting the feel. Like when I started investing, I did the same thing. Like I went out and visited, just kind of drove around, like
in Ohio, right?
Development, yeah, just like just kind of get a feel, to your point too, just kind of see what's going on, see what the deal is. And you'd be surprised, like if you're able to visit your out-of-state market where you're trying to invest in, spend a couple of days there, it could show you a lot. You know, it could show you a lot. And, you know, I mean, not necessarily have to keep going back, but that first time usually could, you know, give you a feel of things. So you mentioned, so we know it's like your first out-of-state investment was a portfolio. You usually might see somebody get like a duplex or a single family. Why did you decide to go with the 11 units versus like getting a single family home or getting like a duplex or starting small? What made you want to go big?
I mean, the thing, man, is, you know, I teach people to buy multifamily with my brand Living Rent Free. You get the more the merrier, right? So with the income, you multiply with the units, number of units, you multiply your income. With the number of doors, you multiply your cash flow. It's more stability. So if one tenant's not paying, you still have four other tenants, five other tenants, three other tenants that can pay. Yeah, you say that, some people say, okay, the maintenance increases, but it's underneath one roof, right? And so you're just maintaining that existing property. The real reason, bro, why I went big, if I'm just being honest, like I said, keep it 100, is I have a vision of scaling and raising money on a large scale, buying apartment buildings and helping passive investors make money. And so I said, okay, let me put up my own dough to do the experiment and show I have what it takes to buy apartment buildings and scale at that level and be successful at that level. And the other thing I want to say is commercial properties are really important in their distinction, and they're different from like smaller single family and how they're valued. Single families are valued based on residential comps in the area. You know this, but residential comps in the area and residential sales. Commercial buildings, specifically multifamily, are valued based on the net operating income and the cap rate, right? So if you can improve the net operating income or or lower the operating expenses, raise the rents, improve the value, you can actually create equity out of thin air. And when I say equity out of thin air, depending on the value of the property, you could create anywhere between $100,000, $500,000, $700,000 in value, because there's value like a business. If your business is making more cash flow, people are going to want to pay more, right? It's a multiple of the cash flow. So now I can control the value of the property. I don't have, it's not based on what other apartment owners are selling. It's based on how well I'm operating my property and running it. So those are some of the reasons, man. And you could cash out, refinance, sell the property at a profit. And so there's like way more depreciation and tax benefits you can do, cost segregation studies. There's a lot of stuff that you can do to make money and save money with multifamily. So that's why I went big, man. Go hard or go home. That's how I had to do it, bro.
Definitely. So commercial is above 4 units, right?
Five units plus is commercial. Yes, sir.
Okay. And then what is, can you explain cap rate and net operating income?
Yeah, so net operating, NOI is net operating income. So when you're analyzing a property, it's like you start off with the gross revenue and then you subtract all the expenses. And this is before debt service. Mm-hmm. So cash flow is after debt service. So say you start off with the gross rents of $10,000. You subtract for like vacancy, your vacancy factor. You subtract for expenses, repairs, maintenance, insurance, utilities. And you get down to the net operating income. So you say you get down to $5,000 a month. Typically, your expenses are like 50% of the gross revenue, right? So that's called the net operating income. And cap rate is a little bit, it's kind of difficult to like explain. It's like I don't want to say amoebic concept, but it's like a nebulous concept. It's like strange, but but it's a way of valuing an asset. So what you do is you take the net operating income, say it's $100,000, and you divide that by the value of the property. Mm-hmm. And so say the property is $1 million, and the net operating income is $100,000. The cap rate is 10%. But what happens is that the reason why I say it's amoebic and it's kind of nebulous and stuff is because the cap rate is produced by what, how frequent these type of sales are done in the market. So what I mean to say is, say there's a few sales of apartment buildings at $1 million. Some of them have a net operating income of $90,000 a year. Some of them have $95,000. Some of them have $100,000. So if you divide 90 over 100, that's 9% cap rate. If you do, 90 over a million, it's 9% cap rate. If you do 100 over a million, that's 10% cap rate. So what happens is over time, you get an average cap rate for the market. So say there's 100 sales in a year, you get an average of, okay, in this area, the cap rate is this number. Mm-hmm. But what happens is that in nicer neighborhoods like Beverly Hills, west side of LA, Manhattan, you get lower operating net operating income and higher values. So less cash flow, but you have, it costs more because of the stability of the tenant base.
Right.
So it's coveted, they're called class A markets. So in class A markets, you'll see cap rates of 4% cap rate of 4. It's called 4% or 4. But or 3.5. And what that means is for $1 million, it sounds crazy, but for you spend $1 million and you get net operating income of $45,000. Per million or 30,000 per million. And people are like, what? That sounds like, that's crazy. It's nothing.
Yeah.
But you have Whole Foods tenants. You have like a bulletproof. It's like if you could buy a property, you know, somewhere in Santa Monica or somewhere in Beverly Hills. It's like a legacy asset.
Yeah.
You know, you're bulletproof. You don't have to worry about, this is where the Kardashians and people live. This is where, you know, Beyonce and them want to live. This is where Bel Air, you know what I mean? This is the top of the market. And so, the I guess blue collar workers or blue collar markets, class C, are like 8 cap, 9 cap, and then going up to 10 cap is starting to where you're getting towards like class D markets, and you get more cash flow, but you have riskier tenant base.
Gotcha.
And so I'm sorry that was like long, it took up a lot of time because cap rate is a real complex concept. Mm-hmm. And when I first tried to study it and understand it, it was like, okay, how do you back into the cap rate? And then you know, how do you understand the cap rate? Because it's not like you could just look at a building and say, okay, this is the cap rate. It's based on the other properties in the market. And then also the cap rates change with time. So since the values are going down now, the cap rates are going up and changing it. So it's just complex.
It sounds complex.
It's a little complex. I tried to make it simple. It's the net operating income over the value, the sale price, I should say. Yeah. But it changes based on the sales.
Got
and,
it.
And it's just interesting, man. Got so, it. Sorry.
No, you're good. So at a basic level, the cap rate is net operating income over the sales price.
That's it.
For your prop, for your, okay. So if I bought a property for, I don't know, $100,000, net operating income is $10,000. Is $10,000 divided by $100,000. Yep. That's okay, cool. What's considered a good cap rate?
Sorry. So you want to aim for cap, it depends on what you're looking for. That's why I say it's
cap. Oh, yeah.
So if you're looking for class B, you know, you may be looking, you know, I would say over 5 is a good cap rate.
Gotcha.
But you want to sell, you know what I mean, when your cap rate is you know, at a lower level. You don't necessarily want to buy it, you want to improve the asset. Or sell when it's at a higher level. I'm sorry. You buy it lower and then sell it at a higher level.
Yeah.
Because you're improving the cash flow or the net operating income.
Right.
So you go from the 45,000 to the 90,000.
Right.
And then
that
goes from the 4 to the 9, you know, 9 cap rate. But it's more complex than that because you're not gonna find a 9. Like, you're not gonna move a 4 in Beverly Hills to a 9.
Yeah.
It'll go from like a 4 to like a 5.
Gotcha.
It'll just move a little bit, but that's huge in those markets. It's like, wow, extra, you know, percentage.
Yeah.
Because if you divide out and like I said, it gets complex, man.
No, you're good.
But the change from 4 to 5 is like really significant.
Got it.
It's like a huge jump, or 3.5 to 5 is like a huge jump.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't see it going from like a 3 to like a 9 in Beverly Hills. That's like crazy. Yeah. But yeah, so sorry, that's like,
no, we might have to do an episode on that. It sounds like something that we need to know as people grow and scale. It's people grow and scale into the commercial side of things. It's something that we need to know about. So
yeah, you know, they have whole chapters in evaluation. There's whole like sections on cap rate and how to break it down and examples and all that.
Right.
So it's hard to just explain it like super simply. Yeah, but
makes sense.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.